We got you covered from Delta Dawn to Dixie on My Mind. Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Why do you keep on staring that mirror, mirror? It ain't fair at all. Dress sizes can't define. Don't let the world decide what's beautiful. No, you won't make yourself a name if you follow the rules. History gets made when you're acting a fool. So don't hold it back and just flaunt it. Show what you got and just own it. No, they can't tear you apart. If you trust your rebel heart, ride into battle. Don't be afraid. Take the road less traveled. Wear out your boots and kick up the gravel. Don't be afraid. Take the road less traveled on. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa. Take the road less traveled on.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More confirmed cases of people sickened with E. coli linked to McDonald's Quarter Pounders.
As McDonald's now confirms yellow onions from Taylor Farms in California are the source of the E. coli, the CDC releasing new numbers showing 26 new cases linked to the Quarter Pounders, a total now at 72. 12 more people have been hospitalized, and 3 new states are added to the list, Michigan, New Mexico, and Washington. Chris Hardcastle was infected.
I actually felt like I was dying. At first.
Other companies that use Taylor Farms onions are now pulling them off their menus as well. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Biden visiting tribal lands outside Phoenix today, issuing an apology for the government's role in removing indigenous children and putting them in federal boarding schools decades ago where there was widespread abuse reported. His remarks taking place in the battleground state. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris both campaigned there this week in Arizona. Election day now less than 2 weeks away. This is ABC News. Ukraine's president with a warning today. Zelensky says he expects Russia to deploy North Korean troops on the front line as soon as this weekend. On the Russian home front, a big inflation problem.
Russia's central bank raising its key interest rate to 21%, its highest level since the breakup of the Soviet Union. The central bank citing inflation, which in September hit a seasonally adjusted rate of 9.8%. Driving higher prices, low unemployment in Russia now at 2.4%, factories running at full speed to produce military products for the war in Ukraine, and sanctions on imports have ramped up the production of domestic goods on Russian soil. Dave Packer, ABC News.
In Los Angeles tonight, lots of sports and lots of traffic. The Dodgers facing off with the New York Yankees for Game 1 of the World Series. The Lakers host the Phoenix Suns. The USC Trojans play Rutgers. And there's an East LA Classic football game. Oh, and a concert by Pink Floyd's David Gilmour. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
In business, service is everything. Cintas delivers what you need to better serve your customers. Whether it's freshly laundered work apparel for almost any job imaginable, tested and inspected fire protection systems, first aid and safety supplies, on-site AED training, or mops and restroom products stocked and ready when you need them. Better work days happen together. So visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayland. Green Bay Packers agree to offer the city of Green Bay the money it wants in an extended lease for Lambeau Field.
That move came after all 12 city council members on Wednesday voiced their support for Mayor Eric Genrich in negotiations with the team. Council President Brian Johnson.
He is sticking up for what's right for taxpayers and asking for things that are completely appropriate in a lease agreement.
Following the press conference, the Packers offered rent with an annual escalator of 2.75% for 30 years, starting at about $1 million. In return, the team said it would invest $1.5 billion in the stadium, and taxpayers would not be obligated to pay for that. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin and South Dakota-based healthcare systems plan to merge.
Marshfield Clinic Health System and Sanford Health, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, announced Wednesday they plan to merge. The joint press release said the integration of the two health systems aimed to improve patient care with new technology, research, and training. The merger is expected by the end of the year, subject to regulatory approval and closing conditions, the company said. I'm Carl Cooley for Wisconsin Radio Network.
Artificial intelligence research at UW-Madison is getting a multi-million dollar boost.
The Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation is giving $160 million in total to the university, with $15 million of that going to AI research. Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin says the award will help UW-Madison lead the way in shaping AI's role in our future. The grant will also help speed up hiring of 120 to 150 new faculty over 3 to 5 years, help fund cutting-edge tech, bolster research staff, and provide startup costs. WARF has been awarding grant money to the university since 1925, and this year's total is larger than last year's grant total of roughly $134 million. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Not everyone can fix their own car. Or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and seasonal, both today and tomorrow. High temperatures reach those upper 50s. Then, winds shift out of the south for Sunday, warming us up to the low 60s and spiking us to near 70 on Monday. Then, the heat really cranks up for Tuesday, nearing 80 degrees. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at GrandpasBBQShop.com. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Outcomes might mean for farmers, the downturn in the ag economy, tariffs, changes to the food supply system, and biofuels policy are all hot topics for farmers. And these issues seem to be complicating the voting decision for some rural voters.
Live from the gateway to the weekend via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney. And we welcome the incomparable Ty Morgan. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, I just got a feeling about this one, buddy. I got a feeling about it. We're going to be scrambling to get everything in to this conversation that hopefully we can get in to this conversation. But we're going to do our best here this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk, dude. It's a little chilly up here in northern Iowa this morning. Sun is out. It's 49 degrees. We're heading for a high of 62, and okay. I'm not sure if it rained or not. There was one drop that came out of the rain gauge this morning when I tipped it.
The one?
And it seems like it might be a little damp out there, but yeah, okay. Whatever we got was not enough. It wasn't a drop breaker, let's put it that way.
Yeah. We're at 56 and sunny here in Kansas City, headed for a high of 68 today. We did get just a little bit of thunderstorm action. I think it was much heavier, up north of the city here, in that northwestern corner of Missouri, and then moving east.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about yesterday morning. There was some severe weather out there, some hail, and some high winds in some areas because of those two fronts coming together. So, October thunderstorms. Yeah.
I will say one of my lawn chairs did blow over, completely tipped over.
It's
absolute
disaster
on the back porch. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Eyes on the skies, everyone.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Let's go ahead and get started.
Well, how you like this from the National Weather Service? Showers and thunderstorms over parts of the middle Mississippi and Ohio valleys rain over parts of the Northeast, and rain will move into the Pacific Northwest. Chip private exporters reported some more sales activity, 116,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 24-25 marketing year, and 136,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 24-25 marketing year. They just keep coming.
I believe that is eight business days in a row with a corn export sales announcement. And the string is building on corn or on soybean sales announcements as well. This is good news. Good news. Yeah. Now it's becoming more and more popular to say, well, you know, all this business is getting done ahead of the U.S. elections because none of the importers know what's going to happen post election. Okay. So I don't know. I guess we'd have to call this export demand transitory then.
Stop. No. A Wall Street Journal poll shows Harris and Trump in a tight race, with Trump leading 47% to 45% within the margin of error. Harris's team acknowledges the need to create some separation from Biden, but with few undecided voters left, analysts suggest the campaign's focus may shift toward contrasting her leadership style with Trump's rather than redefining her policy agenda. Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report noted the presidential race pretty much comes down to which candidate voters see as a less risky choice.
Okay. Every time Harris is asked about, well, you know, you've been there for the last 4 years. It was the Biden-Harris administration. You know, couldn't you have done something about what we're turning a page from your administration to what? She just gives the blankest stares for about, you know, 10, 15 seconds. It got to the point that she had to finally say, you know, one of the reasons that I slow down when I'm answering these questions is because I like to actually think. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's because you've got no answer. Okay, boy, we've got a lot to talk about today. Keep going.
I can't wait. Yeah. A sell-off in U.S. Treasuries is causing volatility across global markets, from gold to currencies, as investors brace for heightened volatility ahead of the November 5 presidential election. The 10-year Treasury yield climbed 0.4 percentage points to 4.2% this month, driven by strong economic data and rising expectations of a Trump trade that could reshape fiscal policy.
Right. Right. Okay. And the idea that maybe the economy is just strong enough that it will be a no landing type of economy. It won't be a soft, won't be a hard, no landing, just kind of a relaunch, I guess, of economic growth.
Well, Chip, labor unrest at Canada's busiest Atlantic port is escalating as dock workers at the Port of Montreal prepare for a 24-hour strike this weekend. Grain transport along the Mississippi River has fallen below last year's levels, Chip, and below the seasonal average. Tow sizes have been cut by up to 46% in sections between Cairo, Illinois, and the Gulf. Transit delays of 2 to 3 days are expected, with no immediate improvement in water levels predicted over the next 2 weeks. That's kind of getting to be a big story, Chip.
Oh, yeah, we've only been talking about it for 3 months. With the water levels on the Mississippi and what it might mean for moving huge, you know, crops, a huge number of bushels of corn and soybeans out of the Midwest and down to the Gulf for export. Okay, buddy, thank you so much. Stay tuned. We got a lot, lot to talk about on the free for all. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right, talk to me about the pork industry's reaction to the preview of those new dietary guidelines.
Well, I think the words that they've used are, it's a mixed bag. You know, there's some things that I think they're okay with, but I think they're very concerned about taking animal-based protein foods subgroups and reducing those or replacing them with these plant-based protein foods. Because of the nutrient gaps and because of what science tells us that people who are at-risk audiences, you know, infants, young children, pregnant women, older adults, and so forth, have. And so, you know, they're speaking out with their concerns. They've submitted comments recently. Release came out yesterday, just expressing their frustration. And as a mom, I think about that a lot because, you know, I've raised babies, but I've also have, you know, an adolescent girl, and just the reality of what their bodies need from a protein standpoint. Yeah. And just there's a lot of different mindsets out there and people that really want to see the end of meat. And it's scary to think of people being misled, you know.
That's exactly right. Hey, I am all for plant proteins and plant-based carbs after they've been turned into complex proteins and vitamins and nutrients that we need by cattle, pigs, and birds. I'm all for it, Jennifer.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah,
that tastes bacon.
Exactly. The problem is, and we talked about this yesterday, but the problem is these, you know, people need to make their own decisions on what they're going to eat, but it's the influence that these guidelines have on things like school lunch programs that's why we really, really need to pay attention to what is happening on these. Jennifer, good stuff. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork, Free for All, next.
At United Animal Health, we all share a love for animals. We have devoted our lives to agriculture and to the well-being and productivity of animals. With our guiding principle to always have the best answer, we listen to the animal and let the animal tell us what works and what doesn't. We know that if the animal is healthy and productive, so is the producer, the consumer, and our communities. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Lameness is a costly issue on dairies across the U.S. Both direct costs like hoof trimming and indirect costs like drop in milk yield can result in a huge loss in gross profit. While there are many ways of preventing and treating lameness, starting cows off right structurally through proper trace mineral supplementation is a great place to start. Visit NovusINT.com and click on resources to learn how Novus Trace Minerals can help prevent lameness. That's NovusINT.com/resources.
Wake up.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Welcome to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. Let's get this thing started. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
I want to say up front, I'm not a fascist.
Good. Because at some point, I'm sure that one of us would probably call you one. It's the
we will be the judge of that, Jim. We will be the judge of that today.
See, okay? And if you got to come right out with, I'm not a fascist, exactly. A red flag is up already. We're under red.
That's right. Yeah. Me think You are protesting just a little too much there, Wiesmeyer.
No, pre-bottle.
Jim, it's like pre-bottle. When somebody says it's not, when somebody starts a conversation with, it's not about the money. Well, yeah, it is.
Right.
You just started with it.
I always bring that up.
It's sort of like, it's sort of like, you know, you. Hey, Sean, I listen to you all the time, but.
But. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, man?
Chip, I am doing fantastic. I am coming to you from Memphis, Tennessee here today. I am I'm at the Peabody Hotel right now. What a cool hotel.
Yes.
Absolutely. They doing the ducks?
They will in about a half hour. I'm going to miss it, but I just sitting in the Peabody last night having an old fashioned and just sort of taking it all in. Oh, it was so cool.
Do they still give the little duck soaps in the bathroom?
Yep.
Love it. All right, Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Are you sure you want to do this, Ty?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because I have a little bit of jealousy. I was in Memphis in July, and the Peabody was more than my work allotment, so I had to stay at the Marriott down the road, and I have envy. I really wanted to.
No, it's okay because Haney pays in Canadian dollars. It's cheaper that way.
Oh, well, at this point, I'm wondering if he's Canadian or American. He's here so much, so that's my question.
Well, for all the AgriTalk listeners, if anybody's going to be at the Ole Miss Oklahoma game tomorrow, I will be in Oxford tomorrow at the game.
Why that game?
Why not? I've always wanted to go to the Grove. I have always wanted to tailgate on the Grove. So this is checking a box.
There you go.
You have more experiences in the. I'm going to start traveling with you. That's all I got to say. You do the fun stuff. Like you have a wish list of what you want to do in the U.S. and you are checking that. You and Jim have. You guys each should write a book. That's all I'm saying.
The problem is, Tyne, is you have such an entourage that travels with you.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
Hair.
Somebody does my hair and makeup. I have a scheduler. Yeah.
Right.
I have a handler.
Right.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coffee. Yeah, I've seen it all. See? Okay. You guys, let's jump into this. Tyne, the latest results of the Ag Economist Monthly Monitor are out on agweb.com. And the economists that responded to the survey.
Is actually masking the reality for farmers. And so you look at it and it looks like things are better than they were in February, but you talk to row crop farmers and that is definitely not the case. And so, you know, what we found in our Ag Economist Monthly Monitor last month was that 2024 could go down as the worst financial year for farmers since 2007. Chip, that's right before the ethanol boom. We're talking nearly, worse than it's been in nearly 20 years. And you look at high input costs, you look at even with the run-up in commodity prices, the slight run-up that we've recently seen, even with that, farmers are producing a crop this year, possibly below break-even. And, you know, Chip, I was in northern Iowa on my way to the University of Minnesota for College Roadshow this week, riding with a farmer in the combine. And these yields, I cannot believe how variable they were. I mean, I was sitting there, and I know that the yield monitor is not gospel. But we're talking about an area that was drought, then too wet, and then drought again. I was seeing 100 bushel per acre yield swings in a matter of seconds in the combine. I mean, it's just the yield story. The verdict is still not out on that. But we asked economists, is the U.S. ag economy on the brink of a recession or actually in a recession? 75% of ag economists think we are on the brink of a recession. That's up from, I think, 56% the previous month. And over half of economists think we are already in a recession. And so, you know, I had a couple farmers reach out and actually say thanks for doing this story because for landlords, it's kind of helping paint the picture of it is a tough financial year if you are a row crop farmer. And guess what? You look at input prices in 2025, things don't look much better, Chip.
Yeah, and that's Chip. That's let's just say the corn yield is one. Let's say it is a 183. That's with a 183 yield.
Yeah,
that makes it even more sobering.
Exactly, with what's happening with farm income, Jim. when you take a look at what the economists are saying, it's no wonder that there has been a proposal, or there is some proposed legislation out there now to bring some payments to farmers to help offset some of this financial struggle.
Yes, high odds, Chip, that'll happen in the lame duck session of Congress, because farm state lawmakers back in their districts and states are hearing not only from farmers, but also from ag bankers. And so help is on the way.
Yep. Will the situation help to encourage passage of a farm bill before the end of the year?
Most people, I say, still only give that 15% odds.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, now you were optimistic on that here not that long ago. Is your attitude changing?
My attitude hasn't changed, but I have to echo what the majority says. Now, I'm going to see G.T. Thompson, House Ag Committee Chairman in Colorado Springs this coming week, and I want to see if he's any part of him is negative. I just don't buy the argument they don't have time. That's laughable to me. They do have time. Get it done.
Right.
Get it
done. Don't have political will for whatever reason.
Well, we'll have to see election results. I think that'll drive it one way or the other.
Okay. And we'll talk more about that as time goes on. Tyne, what else was in the survey that caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, economists said, you know, lenders in our state are very concerned. They talked about livestock being, you know, the positive, the bright spot in the ag economy. But, you know, Michael Langemeyer says that his break-even price right now for farmers is $4.70 is the break-even price that they're working with for corn. And we are well below that. And so that kind of shows, you know, think about when we were in Minnesota this week, they were talking about really, you know, corn prices being a dollar under what break-even price is. But the interesting part, Chip, is we did ask about tariffs and trade, okay? This survey of nearly 70 economists is an anonymous survey. And so it really gives some of these economists the freedom to say what they're really thinking without being tied to their company or their university, right? And so we asked if a Trump or a Harris administration would help or hurt trade. 55% said a Harris administration would hurt trade. 86% of economists said that a Trump administration would hurt trade. But what I found very interesting is we asked the question, do tariffs work, Chip? Because that's kind of, you know, you look at tariffs, are tariffs a tool? Do tariffs work? And what I found interesting is economists aren't even on the same page when it comes to this.
Right.
Some economists said tariffs can work in trade policy. That's why nations continue to use them. The complex part of that extends beyond the tariff action and the potential long-term repercussions, which, you know, we've been talking about. One said absolutely they can work when properly applied. One said in limited cases they work. And then another said not over the long term. They tend to affect who gets to supply different markets around the world. And so it's just interesting that economists, you know, they're on both sides of the aisle when it comes to tariffs, if they are a tool that works or can't work. And, you know, I was in California recently and talking to some producers, and I hadn't thought about this, but in California, some of those growers are actually pro-tariff. Garlic producers, apparently. I didn't realize the U.S. market gets flooded with garlic, you know, garlic imports. I didn't know that. Grape growers right now are hurting because of all of the cheap imports of wine from around the world. So, you know, you look at both sides of this, we know that, you know, row crop farmers will be on the front lines. Will it have the same impact as it had during the trade war? That's what I want to know. But that study from NCGA and ASA said that corn prices would fall 8 cents to 12 cents a bushel, soybean prices 60 cents to a dollar. And, you know, you look at the impact of potential tariffs on China.
Okay. Vance was asked the question, Jim, about the trade deficit and the ag trade deficit and whether or not tariffs can help fix that problem. When you look at the trade deficit that we've got in agriculture, such a big chunk of it is driven by horticulture, isn't it, Jim?
Absolutely. A big portion of that. And Vilsack points
out. Isn't that labor?
To a point, yes. Yeah. And that's why what you heard in California, all the horticultural crops they grow there. On the Trump side, he wants reciprocity. He's tired of this. U.S. farmer being a pansy,
which is what we should get. Which is exactly what we should get, and exactly what the tariffs are designed to force.
Yes.
But when we are also putting ourselves at a disadvantage with the labor regulations that are in place on some of these horticultural farms, I don't know if tariffs are the only answer to this or if we need to change the whole system. We'll talk about changing the system next.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk down 17 to 2010, December down 20 to 2020, January down 26 to 1994, February milk down 18 at 1965. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are mixed. The feeder cattle markets also mixed. A combination of some profit-taking after the big gains, but with cash markets being $2 higher yesterday, that's supporting the markets, even though we have the cattle on feed report coming out. Pork cutoff values over $3 higher today. That is helping to support the hog markets. October live cattle up 42 cents to 189.72. October feeder cattle up 35 cents to 249.75. December hogs up 77 cents to 79.42. Chicago Board of Trade corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower ahead of the weekend as a little bit of profit taking happening after some of the gains. Even though we've seen some pretty strong demand, another 136,000 metric tons of corn has been sold to Mexico today. Meanwhile, on the soybean side, another 116,000 metric tons of corn sold to China. And again, a positive wheat export inspections from earlier this week. Not enough to have the markets moving higher today. December corn down 6.25 to 4.15 1/4. November beans down 9 to 9.87 1/4. December wheat down 13 3/4 to 5.67 3/4. Minneapolis wheat, December down 13 to 6.05.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
At Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
All right, everybody, take yourself off mute and let's roll this thing. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Davis is here, I'm here, and on the phone right now, Paul from Iowa. Paul, welcome to AgriTalk, man. How are you?
Good. How are you, Chip?
Real good. What's on your mind?
I've got some concerns about the whole RFK Jr. And Donald Trump thing. I know that Senator Grassley has previously on your program said it's better to get Trump elected so that at least then Senator Grassley has a chance to be in the Oval Office and bend the ear of the president and help influence policy. And while I'm a big supporter of Senator Grassley, when we were going through our ethanol SRE things and the whole issue with that, Ted Cruz had Trump's ear better than Senator Grassley.
Yep.
And if we're and our analysts this week you've talked to have said we need to find a way to use our crop domestically. And Trump has said that the Inflation Reduction Act money that we've kind of hoped would promote domestic usage of our crops is dead on arrival and will be used to other things. What is a how can a farmer who am I supposed to vote for?
Yeah, I get you. I get you, Paul. And I've received several notes that echo a lot of what you just said there, Paul. Now, I forwarded one of those notes on to Wiesmeyer and Haney and Tyne so that they could maybe formulate some thoughts. Well, formulating thoughts on this is an understatement for what Wiesmeyer did with it. Jim, you got to condense this down.
Sure.
But hit it. But hit it.
I get the concern about Trump, but what's the alternative? Yep. Trump offset those pain of those tariffs on China with $25 billion plus in trade aid. And he was a huge supporter of the farm bill. To me, Biden and Harris haven't lifted a finger for production agriculture. And so as for 40B and 45Z, it's not going to be up to Trump. There's strong Republican lawmaker support for that. And I hear about the RFK's vision for ag. But frankly, that's the Democratic vision for agriculture, and not surprisingly, because he's a Democrat. But Trump said during a recent speech, I'll let him run amok for a while, and then I'll have to rein him in. Bottom line, look at both of their agendas. Trump's ag agenda, extend the tax cuts, improve upon, no elimination of stepped-up basis. Upside is Trump will pursue trade agreements that promote U.S. exports. And as far as energy independence, he's going to drive down the cost of oil and gas. And that'll reduce fertilizer and other costs of productions. But the biggest one, again, he'll support deregulation, where if you look at Harris's, she'll go where the Democrats go on regs. Regulations that harm producers and drive up costs, regulations that take away from crop production products, regulations that hinder biotech. I could go on. Bottom line, Chip, the crosstabs of the Wall Street Journal poll that Davis highlighted show that Trump is increasing his support from rural America from his 2016 and 2020 levels. I think that's significant for reasons why farmers and ranchers know production agriculture is the key here.
Yep. Paul, what are you does that help? You see, I think so much of what takes up the headlines is just a lot of campaign noise.
I guess I would say that, like Tim Brock said, you don't mind taking a cut, but you don't want your legs cut off. I guess, in my opinion, Trump will be better for the long-term success of the country, but I can't go broke if that, supporting him.
Yeah.
Hear you.
Yeah.
Hear you. That's
yeah,
where
I
income
hear you,
transfers
man.
Become important. They're going to have to pay for some of these issues on the Republican side. They're going to have to pay.
Right.
Well,
right.
And history has shown that, in the last Trump term, Trump bucks, right?
MFPs.
Those big payments that came out that could happen again. Now, some people have an issue with that, right? Where they're like, I don't want to have to rely on kind of government payments to get my farm through this. And so that's a
right.
Challenge.
You know what?
Well.
You know what? Right now, there are a lot of non-farmers that live in rural America listening to these comments saying, wait a minute. Somebody's got to pay that bill.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not wrong, Jim.
Yeah, but they have to eat, too. This is called food security.
You're right.
And look at, I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but it must be hard for Vilsack to throw out so many billions of dollars and not accidentally hit a full-time farmer or rancher. How about that one?
But Jim, both parties are throwing, there's no reduction in spending in either direction.
True.
No.
That's like, at the end of the day, they sort of end up being more like each other than different in some ways,
like but to different audiences, different audiences.
Exactly. But on the tariffs, the challenge is on the tariffs is that there's way more nuance than do you support tariffs, the use of tariffs or not? The nuance is how they are applied and how they are used. So yes. if you're looking for equal trade and fair, as fairer trade, as Chip always likes to say, which I agree with, the issue here is that we're blanket approach. We're treating the UK, Canada, good trade partners the same as if you would treat China. Like a country like Canada is 40 million people. It can't buy any more US ethanol. Like we're the largest customer that you have. Yet we're talking about applying those same kinds of tariffs to a key trade partner. I think that's the nuance in these tariffs that doesn't get discussed enough.
And connecting a dot that Chip mentioned earlier, both parties probably are not any better than each other on farm labor. They haven't solved it.
Exactly.
Right. Tyne, I know you want in here.
Well, I mean, one thing on the tariffs I've just been asking, is it going to have the same impact it did have during the trade war? How much of the damage has already been done? So you look at some of these, and obviously NCGA and ASA says it's going to have a huge impact. But are we in a different situation because we're relying on China less? They're not buying as much. And then the other thing is, the question that we've been asking is, where does Harris actually stand on some of these issues? Do we know? Like Trump, right. Trump, hate Trump, we know where he stands on some of these things. We're trying to nail that down with a Harris campaign. And, we're running out of time to do that before the election. But if I was a farmer looking at it right now, where do they actually stand on all of these issues? Are they saying one thing and we'll go a different direction? I don't know. And that's the uncertainty. That's the concern, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has made the mistake of totally banking on the, I'm betting people won't vote for Trump. And that gamble, that strategy is the numbers are showing. It's a failed strategy.
Hillary Clinton strategy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have really.
What she doesn't realize, what I don't think what the Harris campaign realizes is there is a whole bunch of rural America that just will not vote for her because of what has gone on over the last 4 years. There is a chunk of rural voters that Trump is their Harris no vote.
She has refused to be critical of the current administration that she's a part of. If you look at Clinton, you look at Obama, they said, hey, we got to fix some stuff. Like we need to change as Democrats. And she has not done that. And I think people have not separated her from the Biden administration whatsoever. And it's a failed strategy.
They have spent the Democratic Party have spent $650 million to try to get the public to know about Harris. They have succeeded, but they don't like her.
And at the end of the day, it's not over yet. Like this is very close. Very close.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wiesmeyer, I want to know how much of that money was spent on Harris signs, because I have seen a ton of Harris signs in rural America this year. A shocking number. More so than Trump signs. And I am surprised by that. And
but the problem is, I want to point this out on those signs. When I see the Harris signs, they're all just like one right after the other. Yeah. They're probably on the same piece of property. That guy only gets one vote.
And Chip, did you know you have to pay for Trump signs? You don't get those free.
Right.
You can't go to the Republican office and get a Trump sign for free.
Shows a commitment.
So, so I wonder how much that has to do with it, too. I'm just saying I've been shocked. But in Wisconsin, it was Trump, Trump, Trump. I was. There are more Trump signs in rural Wisconsin than there are, I think, in all of Iowa. I'm pretty sure. It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. This is, Paul, are you still on the line? No, he hopped off. Okay. Hopefully we helped to answer that question that you had.
He brought up good points, Chip.
He did. Paul brought up great points.
As a farmer, who's going to be better for agriculture? Just looking at agriculture, nothing else, just looking at agriculture. And that's hard to answer.
Right. Right. It's a hit. You know what? One of the things that I appreciate about farmers so much, and I don't think I've said this enough, is that they are not a single issue vote.
Yeah.
Okay. And they look at so many different issues when they are deciding who they are going to vote for. That's why some are struggling. Now, for the most part, I think farmers are going to make the choice to vote for Trump. They know that it is going to come with a certain amount of issues, baggage, whatever you want to call it, but they're willing to live with that to keep this country moving in the direction that so many of the Trump policies favor.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
I'm Terry Schoonover, candidate for Assembly in District 29, which runs along the Mississippi River from Trempealeau in the south to Prescott in the north and over to Blair in the east. For 20 years, I worked in emergency management. I learned you can't do it by yourself. You have to listen. You have to work with all the agencies that have a piece of the action. You have to respect each other. I want to take that experience to Madison, help break the gridlock, get people working together, get stuff done. I'd appreciate your vote for Assembly on November 5th, paid for by Schoonover for 8029, Bill Brueger, Treasurer.
For the Droz Family Grain in Michigan, and he is involved in a program called Frontier Fields with Mosaic. Jake, tell me about the program.
Yeah, so Frontier Fields, I guess how I view it, it's almost like a little mini docu-series almost on a few farmers, my brother and myself and my dad, and then a few friends that I've met around the country, and we're trialing a product from Mosaic Biosciences called BioPath, and just to try out a biological.
All right, so tell me what you have experienced in those trials that you are doing on BioPath.
Yeah, so last year we trialed BioPath and had a 6.5-7 bushel response. And so, obviously, that catches your eye, so we tried it again this year. So we're seeing more tillering in the corn, a little bigger diameter stalks, and obviously a little more yield.
Yeah. So that little more yield, that's probably one thing that's got you excited about what you are learning from those BioPath trials. But what else gets you excited?
Oh, I mean the fact that, you know, maybe we can reduce some synthetic nutrients of any kind, you know, we're using a biological, we're using naturally derived things, you know, it's bugs. So, you know, anything that we can give back to the soil, you know, obviously, hopefully the soil gives back to us.
Awesome. Jake, where can listeners go to learn more about it?
Well, they can go to frontierfields.com or reach out to their local retailer and just ask them about BioPass.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jake. That is Jake Drozd. Jake is a Michigan farmer with Drozd Family Grain, talking about their field trials with Mosaic's BioPath.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, the Nasgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. If you're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success, visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. We got to keep this thing going. It's a short segment. We got to wrap it up. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Tyne Morgan, Davis, and me. Okay, some listener response to what has been discussed so far. Number one. I think this okay. I mean, it's so crazy. I got to throw it out there. Kamala Harris is so bad that some Republicans think she is a plant to lose the election so that a Republican White House will have to deal with the crash that's coming because of overspending and the debt. If they really wanted to win, Michelle Obama would have been the candidate. Jim?
Well, if Michelle would have been the candidate, yes, I think the Democrats would have won. But two, I learned a long time ago, you don't win by losing. Okay?
Mm. Right. Yeah. Amen to that. See, that's why I almost didn't bring up that response. But listeners are chiming in here. There's this one, Chip. You and I have children and grandchildren. That makes my decision pretty easy. I got to look long term. I'm 100% in agreement with Wiesmeyer. Jim, that hurts me to say that, you know.
But you know, the one part that the listener that was heartfelt, you have to survive to succeed for the future. And I know the short term pain. And that's where agriculture is going to have to be one of the top priorities if whoever is president and whoever is in Congress, because there's a lot of pain, as Tyne said earlier. They're going to need income transfer short term.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Jim, one thing that we haven't talked about, and I think we do need to talk about it real quick. What is the trend in the presidential race? Is Trump gaining ground? Is he in the lead?
Yeah, I mean, it's within the margin of error, so that means okay, jump ball. But that Wall Street Journal crosstabs that I did earlier this morning, they consistently show Trump upper tied with Harris heading into the final week. So and that's nationally. So he's got the momentum, and that's the best indication of the movement towards Trump in those battleground Senate races. And there are key Senate races in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio that are all rated toss-ups. So, you know, there's a possibility that Trump could win this by far more electoral votes than anyone has predicted thus far. Yep. But this thing is in the last two weeks, and anything can change. But I don't see any October surprise now. But they're desperate. To me, the Democrats are desperate when they use the fascists and the Hitler monikers, which is a shame.
Oh, yeah, that's just so stupid. Every time I hear something like that, I completely lose interest, because all that is desperation. But there's a reason they're doing it, and it's because a certain percentage of the voting public out there responds to it. So it's just so it's unsettling to see that kind of an argument in a what is supposed to be an effort to inform the population so that they can make the right decision on a vote. When we get I better stop.
Trump could have been really challenged had there been any other candidate other than Kamala Harris, in my judgment.
Yep. Okay, I think we need to pray for Trump today. Those that are supporting Trump need to pray for him, because he's got an awesome opportunity to screw things up today.
Oh, the Rogan?
The Rogan interview.
Yeah.
And
3 hours,
the thing.
It could be.
Three hours of two guys sitting around shooting the bull. This is an awesome opportunity for Trump to finish things off and to swing the momentum fully in his direction going into the vote. And if that is happening in the conversation, Rogan will feed into it. He will absolutely feed into it, because he's going to be because then he would be the guy that could say, you know what, I'm the one that got him over the hump. I'm the one. It was that interview. And if it happens this way, political pundits will say, you know what, it's that Rogan interview that got him over the hump and got the common man voting for Trump. Or it could be a train wreck.
Yeah,
and if it's turning into a train wreck, Rogan will let the train wreck happen too.
Yeah,
he will. Yeah.
How disciplined will he be? Maybe 1 hour, disciplined, 2 hours, undisciplined, knowing Trump.
Yeah, he'll be comfortable with the 3 hours. Like he did the Undertaker's podcast this week too, I heard. So there's that. If you're listening to the WWE Undertaker podcast, I don't know why you do. Like, the momentum is in his favor. I don't know why you do the Rogan podcast now. Like, maybe a month ago, yes. I maybe I'm too cautious, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay. More feedback is coming in. Both candidates are not worthy of my vote. I'm voting for Vance. Waltz is a disaster.
Well, that's proven to kind of be a little bit true, to be honest with you. Look how he has been in the background since that VP debate where J.D. Vance really took him to the shed. He has proven to be not the right pick, in my opinion. And I know I have some Democrat relatives that disagree very much with me on that. But yep. I have to say, she should have gone with Shapiro.
Absolutely. When they are making the VP selections, it's popular to say things like, oh, come on, the vice presidential pick really doesn't matter that much. That's kind of like saying you can't lose the pennant in April. Yeah, you can. You can lose too many games in April and lose the pennant. You can lose the presidential race by picking the wrong VP running mate, and I think Harris may have done that.
Especially for must-have Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yep, it's a great point. Another
Ask
one just
Minnesota
to get us
farmers
off of...
what they think about their vice presidential candidate.
Right. Okay, and then there's this one. Vivek said in primary, all we need is a 15% ethanol, and then ag won't need any of the green stuff. Boy, there's an argument to be made for that. Let's get 15% Let's get E15 going nationwide in every gallon, and then a lot of the issues that we have talked about, they kind of go away. You guys, great job. Great conversation. I'm looking forward to next week already. Come back this afternoon. We're College Road showing in the University of Minnesota with Ed Usett.
This fall, enhance your dry fertilizer and power crop performance with Titan XC. By increasing the availability of applied nutrients, Titan XC makes your dry fertilizer program more efficient and effective, meaning you can increase your yields while keeping money in your pocket. Ask for Titan XC on your dry fertilizer today and power crop performance next season. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a